This is Like a Moth to the Flame, written by Jaculard and read by Tipsy Kitty. He saw the face again last night. It's a kind face, weathered by sea salt and harsh wind, a tangle of salt and pepper hair pulled back from its forehead, dark and gentle eyes set in deep hollows of the skull. Some nights there's a beard, long and beautiful, so easy to twist his fingers in and pull those soft lips down to meet his own. Sometimes there isn't one, just coal smeared over rugged cheeks and around the eyes. Steed has no preference either way. When the vision is beardless, he can run his hands over its cheeks, feel the smoothness of its skin, the rough rasp of stubble against his palm. A welcome companion for the night, a whisper of touch, of a warm, firm body against his own, the scent of leather and lantern oil in the sea. Companionship. Then he wakes, of course, and the vision is gone, and Steed tends the lighthouse all alone. There's a model ship above the mantle. It's a little worn now, its mizzenmast broken, a few of its sails torn and stained. There was a gull that got in here one day through the broken window and knocked the ship from its perch. Now it's all chipped paint, stained fabric, splintered wood. But when Steed looks at it, he sees a ship in all its glory. He sees the Revenge with the wind in its sails, the deck swabbed to a high gleam. He can close his eyes and face the ocean, and pretend he feels the floorboard swaying underfoot, the wind on his face, the spray of salt against his eyelids. And then he walks the shoreline of his little island, and he catalogues the debris that washes ashore from ships like that. Driftwood and seaweed most days, nothing to concern himself with. But other days he sees a crate floating atop the waves. Other days he finds a fine dressing gown half buried in the sand, miraculously untorn from its long journey here. He launders it, does his best to wash the stiffness of sea salt out of the fabric, to chase away the stink of rotten fish. He wears it to bed. He wonders who wore it before him. He likes the slide of something like silk over his bare skin, so much like a human touch. He dreams of the vision again, the bearded man from before, rough, calloused hands trailing up Steed's body, enamored not with him but with the dressing gown, the glide of expensive material through his fingers, against his calluses, the contrast of that deep red floral print against his short-clipped dirt-black fingernails. The vision grasps the dressing gown reverently, like a holy object, presses it to his cheek, closes his eyes. "You fancy a fine fabric," Steed says. The vision almost smiles. Back home, Steed's mother would sprinkle rum in the doorway. "Too many sailors crack up on the rocks out there," she said with a nod to the sea. "We don't want those lost souls wandering into our home." It struck Steed as unfair as a child. He didn't fear those ghosts. He envied them, first of all, for that sense of adventure, the chance to go, to leave, to sail somewhere far away, to leave everything behind. They could change their names. They could change their personalities. They could go where no one knew them. To die in the pursuit of that anonymity seemed a fair price to pay to him. And for those who died, who sank, who drowned, why fear them? Why not pity them? Why not save the rum for them to drink when they wandered to the bonnet house from the shore? Why not throw open the kitchen door and welcome them inside? Why not offer them warmth, a home, companionship, a sympathetic ear? At the lighthouse, Steed doesn't sprinkle rum in the doorway. He saves it in bottles that line the kitchen pantry, tucked between bags of flour and sand for the coming floods. He doesn't partake, even when the nights are lonely, even when he's especially cold and his stomach twists and he watches the sea, half hoping someone will show up at his door. He saves it for someone who needs it more than he does. Steed has always been fond of moths. He sweeps up their dead bodies, burnt and blackened, from beneath the lighthouse tower. Sometimes he picks the carapaces out from the pile, studies their wings, tries to discern a pattern, a color, a species. Usually he can't tell. Poor things, he thinks, and he incinerates them along with all the other trash. In the afternoon, when his work is done for the day, Steed wanders the beach, cold and stony, the sky a flat gray. He can smell the rubbery, rotten flesh of a sea lion that's washed up somewhere, but he keeps his eyes close to his feet for now. Doesn't want to step in anything unpleasant. A tangle of seaweed, a dead fish gutted by the birds, a starfish, all the colors bled from its arms, cold and dead. The smell grows worse. Steed fights the urge to cover his nose, to gag. He's still watching his feet when he hears it, a familiar voice, a voice he's heard every night in his dreams. "Just who I was looking for," it says, and Steed looks up to see the vision lying supine on the sand. Gently, Steed tilts the bottle, and rum splashes over the vision's lips into its mouth, stains its tongue a shade of red so dark it's almost purple. "What's your name?" Steed asks. "Edward Teach," the vision says. He is a good companion. They sit together on the beach until nightfall, Steed with his arms wrapped around his knees for comfort, Ed lying down, eyes fixed on the sky, on the stars. He is comfortable in his own body. Shameless. Doesn't seem to mind that his shirt is ridden up to expose his stomach. Doesn't seem to mind how his wet leather pants cling to his skin. And he's a good conversationalist. And he seems to like Steed in all his quirks, in all his little weirdnesses. And that's all that matters. The next day, Steed comes to visit him again. "I brought my rum," he says.
"Excellent,"
says Edward. His lips are pulled back in a smile, teeth bared, and once again Steed pours the liquor down his throat. Today Edward's stomach is still bared, a little bloated by the sun. Today his eyes are sightless, the skin around them flecked with blood and fluid, the spheres inside his head punctured by sharp beaks. He swallows the rum with a satisfied sigh and stares up at the clouds. "Why'd you come here?" Steed asks.
"Why'd you?" Ed replies. "That's easy. To get away from it all. To find some solitude, some peace. Away from Mary, away from the kids, away from everyone who ever looked down on him."
"Doesn't it get lonely?"
Ed asks.
"That's the point," says Steed. "Doesn't it get cold at night?"
Steed scratches the back of his neck. All around Ed, the sand is smooth from the tide, all the little gull prints washed away. His clothes are still soaked through, still wet and clammy to the touch, and there is seaweed in his hair, flecks of sand and tiny seashells caught inside his beard. Gently, Steed leans over and picks some of it out. "It gets cold," he admits, "the same way it gets cold out here for you. But you don't leave either, so you don't get to ask me why I stay." Ed only smiles, gums blackened, eyes ruined, rum pooled inside his open mouth. There's another pile of moths to clean up at the end of the week. This time Steed can make out a faint pattern on the left wing of one of the carcasses. It's a little sooty, but not entirely burnt away. He keeps it in his kitchen, just beside the lantern, where he can bring his books down tonight and study it in full, try to identify it. He tells Ed all about it on the beach, where some enterprising gull has picked a dark hole in Ed's stomach. Dark clotted blood and ruined tissue and rubbery purplish intestines spilling out. "Tell me about your adventures," Steed requests. So Ed does. He tells him about life in a port city. His dad hitting his mum, hitting him. The Kraken killing his father. The satisfying, terrifying stiffness of the ropes against his hands. Running away to join a naval ship as a ship's boy. His first meeting with pirates. His quick switch to a life of crime.
"Always feared," Ed says. "Always respected."
"Always lonely," Steed says. Ed tips to the side. Last night, the water rose and gently brushed the blood and gore away from his face. Now his wounds are clean and glaring, white bloodless holes in his face, like a disease has eaten away at his skin. His eye sockets are empty, nothing inside them but a few specks of sand and something wriggling in the dark.
I dreamed of you, Ed says. I dreamed of your kisses, your touch, the way you saw me, the way you understood me, accepted me.
Steed thinks of the dressing gown, of the reverent look on Ed's face, the longing he saw there.
You asked me why I came here, Ed says. I came because of you.
Gently, Steed takes Ed's hand. The fingers are stiff. It takes some work to bend them around his own, to bring Ed's knuckles to his lips in a kiss. Blood has pooled in the backs of his hands where they were pressed against the sand, turning them a dark shade of purple that looks perfect against Steed's pale lips, against his tongue.
How did you know where to find me?
He murmurs, his breath warm against Ed's cold skin.
The lighthouse, Ed says. I followed the light.
And as the flies buzz all around them, and the scent of rotting flesh clogs Steed's lungs, he smiles, and he leans in for a proper kiss, a real kiss, skin against skin, not a vision, not a dream. Everything he's ever wanted, everything he's ever wished for. Here. The end.